Kate, that is not a good sign that I'm already crying, because for those of you that know me, I am a bit of an emotional person. But truly, it is such an honor to have this opportunity to be with each of you tonight. I would be lying if I wouldn't say I'm nervous, and I really do feel that the Lord has put a really amazing message on my heart to share with you tonight, but really, what made me most nervous was what to wear. I can't see here in the room, but I have to give full credit to Brenda Newdager. These pants are making their debut tonight. She thought it was a really good idea that I acquire a pair of leather pants from, oh, there she is, in my wardrobe. And like any good woman would, she would brag upon the really good deal she got on them at a thrift store. So, but really, 13 years ago, I joined Celebration Church. I actually was pregnant with my youngest son, who's about to turn 13. And kind of on the heels of what Becky just said, as we were standing in the sanctuary, the song, "You Make Beautiful Things Out of Dust, and You Make Beautiful Things Out of Us," and as that song was singing, he just was turning circles inside of me, and it was that Sunday that we decided, this is our church home. And it really has been such a beautiful thing. I have walked through so many hard things in these last 13 years. Our family has, and this church has been such an influential part of not only my walk, but my children's walk, which, can I just acknowledge, they chose this over youth tonight. So, but truly, you all have nourished the garden of my faith. You've sharpened me. You've prayed with me. You've celebrated me. And Celebration truly does feel like home. And I am so honored to be sharing this message with you all tonight. So before we jump in, I'm just going to open us with a prayer. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you move in this space, open the hearts and the minds of every person in this room, and Lord, use me as a vessel. May these words be yours and not of my own. I pray all of this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so tonight's message I've entitled Make Room, one of my most favorite songs. Make Room, the Power and Purpose of Fasting. So when we think about Lent, fasting is a large component of that. It's what we all talk about. It's what most of us might have done today. We talk about the things that we're fasting during the 40 days. I did have the opportunity, like Becky said, I teach our preschoolers. So a couple weeks ago on Ash Wednesday, teaching to our 4, 5, and 6-year-olds about what fasting is. And I'm just going to share with you what the Spirit led me, how to explain it to a bunch of preschoolers. Lent is a 40-day gift of an opportunity before Easter to open your hearts more fully to Jesus because he wants to be your best friend. These 40 days are an opportunity for you to clear out those distractions, all the things and reasons why you might not have picked up the phone to call that friend that you haven't talked to in a while, all the things that get in the way, that clutter your life, to open your heart to Jesus, get rid of the crud, and just get recentered with him. So, especially in Lent, he wants you to choose him over all of those things. Every one of those kids in that room were so excited to answer the question, so what is it that's getting in the way with Jesus being your best friend? And it was funny because they were all like, I know, I'm giving, it's my tablet, it's my video game, it's playing with my friend. And then equally when the question was, okay, so then what are you going to do to make sure Jesus knows he's your best friend? And they were equally just excited. What surprises me is to how and why that was so easy for them to do. In church, it's because they understood the why. When we understand the why behind something, it does create that burning desire inside of us. So tonight is really about understanding the purpose and the power behind fasting. It's a discipline that I, in the past, have known about, and I've done almost as though it was like a mark of pride. Yes, I went all day without eating. Now I can eat. In the past 2 years, it's shifted from something I've accomplished to something that has allowed for God to accomplish something in me. It's shifted my desire to stand more closely with him. What I have to share with you tonight is not of my own knowledge, but really rather what God has revealed to me through scripture, study, and prayer. Scripture puts a call of expectation to us when it comes to fasting. Much like many of the other disciplines that we engage in, Jesus doesn't say, if you fast. He clearly states, when you fast. It's an expectation he has on us. When you fast, Jesus gives clear direction of this posture we're to take in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, 16 to 18, where he says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Church, fasting isn't something to accomplish. Fasting is something we're expected to do to grow closer to Jesus. Jesus also tells us again in Matthew chapter 9 why we're fasting. He makes it clear that fasting will mark us as his followers after his departure when we're living apart from him. Then John's disciple came and asked him, How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is still with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. Fasting is an act of humility. It is a practice that says, Lord, I have crowded my heart with things other than you. So as we dig into some practical things about fasting tonight, I really want you to intentionally posture your heart to receive these things. So I'd like you to take a moment to really tap into your heart and reflect on these questions. What in my life is creating fog? What is distracting me? What is giving me a counterfeit comfort? Pause for a moment, reflect. If you have a journal, jot them down. If you're next to somebody and brave enough, whisper it to them, or just silently reflect. The Bible has over 50 references to fasting throughout Scripture that give us different reasons why we fast. It's not just a minor practice of faith, you guys. It is a foundation to our spiritual formation. I'm not going to cover all of what Scripture has to say in that one message. Maybe Pastor Mark can do a whole series on it. So I do encourage you, as I'm mentioning Bible stories tonight and these purposes for fasting, that you do your own deeper study so that you can really start to grow in your intention with the practice of fasting. All right, the first purpose that we see fasting be used, and not that it shows up first chronologically, but the first we're going to cover tonight, is humility and confession. We see in Psalms 35:13 that David humbles himself with fasting for those who hated him, acknowledging just how fragile he is and in need of God's strength to respond in righteousness and justice. Newsflash, we're not perfect. We offend people, people offend us, and sometimes those things are really hard to get over. When we are really struggling to humble ourselves in humility or even confess of our wrongs, fasting allows for us to dig deep into those roots that are causing us to hang on to that and turn it over to God. So again, one of the purposes for fasting is to build your humility and your ability to confess. The second purpose is in our seasons of grief. We see that David fasted after Saul and Jonathan died in 2 Samuel 1. He intentionally leaned into the Spirit for healing. He didn't seek things to numb the pain. He didn't move on too quickly to just say, I'm okay, I'm fine. He fasted. We need to be reminded that sometimes in these moments, how important it is to sit with the pain and allow for the Spirit to move in us so that we can reach a complete place of healing. It's painful, but the reward on the other side is well worth it. But taking that time to fast and remove those distractions, to allow for yourself to sit with that and truly grieve, is where Jesus wants to meet you. So we fast in our seasons of grief and mourning. A third purpose that we see in the Bible that calls us for a reason to fast is when we need discernment. Church, I recently read The Difference Between Decision-Making and Discernment, which was very helpful. Decision-making is when we on our own accord have decisions to make. Deciding what to wear today, I did not need to go to the Spirit in that. It was just a choice. But when we need to discern, that is a decision that needs to be led by the Spirit. And there are big decisions in our lives that we are not allowed or called to make on our own. We need to tap into the Spirit to make those decisions. Fasting allows for you to connect well in those times of hard decisions and life transitions, to be able to be led in discernment. We see this in Acts 13:3 and again in 14:23, when the early church fasted before they appointed the leaders to begin the very first global mission with Paul and Barnabas. Fasting helped clear the fasting helps clear the fog of our own human intentions, our motives, and fleshly desires, allowing for the Spirit to have a divine intervention and a voice to speak clearly and loudly. If some of you are wondering, like, I'm just waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me what to do, take a look and reflect at your spiritual practices. Fast. And I'm going to share a little bit about just a personal experience with that. I really encourage you to engage more deeply and intentionally in that practice, because when we need to discern decisions to be made, they're done well when they're led by the Spirit. The fourth purpose that we fast is to gain spiritual strength against temptation. We see that Jesus fasted for 40 days in the desert in Matthew chapter 4. It was in his physical weakness he was able to confront temptation and declare against Satan in Matthew 4:4 that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Church, fasting trains us to say no to the smallest desires of this world, like food, so that we have the muscle memory to be able to say no to our greatest temptations of sin. So when we need to be spiritually working out our strength against any temptations that are lurking in the shadows, we fast and we engage in our spiritual disciplines along with it. The last purpose that we see in the Bible is a realignment to God. We get a little distracted, we get off course, we lose our way. We see this in 1 Samuel 7:6 and again in Jonah 3, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. We see fasting as a physical expression of a spiritual U-turn. In these stories, we see fasting used as a tool for realignment, moving a community from a state of rebellion or complacency back into a right relationship with God. When our relationships with God have grown stale or distant, we need to get realigned with Him. Fasting reminds us what truly sustains us. Again, I only briefly touched on each of these. I really do encourage you to dig into your scripture. Like Gary shared last week, that's where we find the truth of the word. And when you're fasting in that, the word will hit you a lot deeper. Church, this past season of my life has moved me to an increased intention in the practice of fasting. Like I shared with you, it used to be something that I could accomplish. But in the last 2 years, it's become a foundation of my formation. In December, I was faced with a big challenge that I had never faced before, the loss of my job. My position was eliminated, and I had no idea what was going to be coming next. In that same month, it's the anniversary of my mom's passing. It's Christmas. We have 6 kids, and our home And God recently put this calling on my life to full-time ministry, and I'm in school. I took a day in December and committed 24 hours to fast and remove myself from all distraction and just be in the presence of the Lord. In that moment, fasting became less about a discipline that I knew about and more about a desperation and a true formation of my life. It positioned my heart differently to face things with strength that I couldn't even explain, to face the reality with clarity and trust that God never has and he never will fail. Fasting allowed for the fog to clear. I listened to many different podcasts, but I recently heard this statement that kind of sums up that point. Jesus doesn't give us a new weight to carry or take it away. He gives us a new way to carry the weight. Nothing of my situation is different today than it was in December, except for the strength in my relationship with Jesus. And that's what keeps me moving forward. So what does fasting do in us? It empties us of spiritual suppressants. It creates space to be filled. It strengthens our prayer life. It deepens a practice of self-examination. And it reorders love in our relationships to be more sacrificial. But the problem, and this is where I want to warn you all, if we remove something, it creates a void. And it needs to be filled with something. So there's a replacement principle when it comes to fasting. When you remove that thing that's creating fog and distraction, you must be intentional with how you're filling it. What are you filling it with? Are you increasing your practice of prayer? Are you spending more time in scripture? Are you spending more time in worship? Are you actually taking time to be silent? Fasting without feasting on Christ is only going to leave you more empty. So, church, I want to leave you with some practical steps to be able to move forward with tonight. Step number one, fast with intention. Know why it is that you're fasting. I listed the five reasons. What do you hope to gain while you're fasting? Number two, determine your boundaries. What am I fasting? It doesn't just have to be food. It can be technology. It can be alcohol. I will be completely honest. Last Lent, I fasted alcohol for 40 days, and I carried that on through the rest of the year because I was so grateful for the mind-clearing peace of mind that it gave me. How long will you fast? Maybe it's for the morning or the time until you get your question answered. Maybe it's a day, 7 days, 40 days. I mean, if it's food, you can do it. Number three, choose your replacements. What will you spend more time and energy doing? What will draw you deeper into the presence of the Spirit and make you more intimately connected with Jesus? Church, that is the main goal in all of this, to grow intimately connected with Jesus. So fast with intention, determine your boundaries, choose your replacements, and lastly, be kind to yourself. Remember that this is an act and practice of humility. Jesus doesn't expect us to be perfect. Start small, grow from there. Don't compare yourself to other people. What you're fasting is for your purpose, not anybody else's. God does his best work in us when we come to the end of ourselves. The other thing that I just want to touch on with fasting, because oftentimes we see in the Bible, when they fast, they prayed. John Piper calls fasting the hungry handmaiden of prayer. That ache in your stomach, which, if you're like me, I'm definitely feeling right now, that's your cue. It's your cue. Instead of feeding it with food or counterfeit suppressants, turn it upward to him with the request, "Fill me, O Lord." Those hunger pains or those cravings or the temptations to want or desire the things that you're fasting from, take that as a sign to turn to Jesus. Church, if you only dip your toe into the river, you're only going to feel the surface. Jesus wants all of you. So cannonball in, fully splash around, make it well worth the trip, and give him all of you. What is the Spirit inviting you to surrender this Lent? And are you willing to empty yourself so he can fill you to the fullest? Church, I'd like to invite you to say a final prayer of surrender with me. So we'll recite this. Hopefully they're going to bring it up.
Yep.
If you can just recite this prayer of surrender with me. Lord, I am yours, completely emptied. Have your way with me. Church, thank you so much. It was truly a pleasure.